Welcome one, welcome all. Step right up, step right up, ladies and gentlemen. Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 165 is coming at you right now. Howdy, everybody. Portal Gaming Podcast is a podcast brought to you by a store called The Portal, which is located in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, you can log on to www.theportalct.com. Check us out on Facebook, The Portal, and on Twitter, at PortalGaming60. That's where you'll find me, your host for this episode, The Brant, and also our brand new YouTube channel, Step Into The Portal. You can find me, Larry, Kathy, and others streaming there weekly. Very excited about this episode 165, Portal Gaming Podcast, a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. And for more awesome podcasts, you can go to www.dicetowernetwork.com. This is episode 165. The esteemed Mr. Jude is with me. How are you, Matthew?
I'm not as good as you are, it seems. Thank you, bro. How are you, man?
It's great because now that everybody has the video, I've just been doing a couple of these, maybe three or four of them. It's awesome because for 90 seconds, you just have to watch the guest be like, what's happening right now?
This is wild. 165, Brant.
165 times I've bothered to tell people about games.
That's a lot, at least.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
yeah, there's one good episode that isn't me. So there's one year I couldn't go to Gen Con. And so Larry and Gary Pope took my recorder and they did the Gen Con episode coming home. I think I've done 164 episodes.
I think that's the same with my podcast. Like, this game is broken. I'm the only one that's done every episode, I think. Because I care the most. So I edit it and I'm a control freak. So I'm like, you can't do it without me. They can.
Nice. So we need to go through all the things that you're on. I'm going to see how many things I know that you do.
Go for it.
All right. So the big one is This Game is Broken. And if you haven't listened to This Game is Broken, you need to listen to it because it's very funny. I think of it as like the Wait, Don't Tell Me of board games.
That's exactly what we were going for, yeah.
Which is an NPR, news quiz podcast. And it's very good. So check Matthew out there along with
Paula, Demi, Nick Murphy, Mike Murphy, and Dave Loser.
I had them all.
Yeah, I know. You've stopped at a house with all of us at one
point. I did. These are people I have stayed with. I really want to do that, like an episode where it's just like people I have stayed with at a con.
Yeah. I have a long list at this point, man. Yeah.
I have. I am not one to shy away from mooching.
I'm the same. If someone says, I will let people down all the time. But if someone says, hey, come stop at my house, I normally, if it's possible, will do that.
Yeah.
Like, I intend to go to your house at some point, but then the world collapsed. But we were.
I know. Yeah, that was fun.
PAX Unplugged, right?
Oh, that was
PAX Unplugged that we were playing that for? What convention was that we're playing that for?
You were going to, it was like all of them. You were going to come home for Gen Con. And then, come to my house for Gen Con and fly home from Boston.
That's it.
I think was the one that we planned and that didn't work out. And then we were talking, I kept trying to push you for PAX Unplugged, but you had a lot in the works then. Which made sense. And then
I was this close to booking a flight. I was like, Paula was going, I was like, I want to see Paula. And I was so close to booking a flight, but I didn't. And I feel like I regret it. I regret not going, but
yeah, well, now
all the stuff that I was doing my excuse that I couldn't go, I don't remember what that was. So it wasn't important.
Oh, well. Right, exactly. Yeah, but now, hopefully it'll happen. A PAX Unplugged will happen. And I mean, that's the best one to stay at my house because I'm just so close to Philadelphia. It's like 3 hours. So it's a nice easy drive and whatnot. So figure all that out. All right. So you're at This Game is Broken. You're also at that's the podcast. And you have the YouTube channel, This Game is Broken, where there's a variety of things over the years between you and Dave live and reviews and then Matthew talks about what were the ones you're doing all about? Is that what it is?
All about. So they're not necessarily reviews of games, but they're like just talking about. Because my thing is I'm not like you as much in some sense. Is that I don't like being negative about board games. I don't enjoy it. feel bad. So I like just decided to do, hey, these are videos. But the thing is, actually, I really personally try to do videos on games that I don't even ask to do a video on a game if I don't think I'm gonna, if I don't think I'm gonna like it. But that, that doesn't always happen in this case. But then again, you kind of know if I kind of at the end say, oh man, this game's brilliant and I love this and this and this. And if I don't, and it's just, this is what this game is, it's like, well, that, like,
right.
That's like, oh, I probably didn't like that one as much.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I don't necessarily mind being negative about a game. I tend to just highlight, even though I'm generally an Omni gamer, I tend to highlight what I didn't enjoy and fully realize that other people will enjoy that.
Yeah. I definitely have that mindset right now where it's, this is not always true, but I do think that most games that come out are good for someone. Yeah. I don't think there's that many terrible games released.
No.
Not by companies that we know, right?
There's right. definitely games. It might be a Kickstarter. If you did Kickstarter previews, it could be rough on that front. And there might be a mass market game that just isn't even close to aiming to anything you want to try to do. You know?
Yeah, exactly. But so I like, if I get a game, I don't like it, I like to say, hey, but this isn't for me. But if you like this, this, and you like this, then you probably won't like this game. This is something for you. But
yeah,
the games, the last negative review I really did, it was a Steffenfeld game. I forgot the date. It's like 1775 or 1862 or 1603 Revolution.
I know what you're talking about. The election one?
Yeah. I thought the game was fun, which is fine. It was just a little filler Steffenfeld game. But I thought the production on it was so bad that I was legitimately angry about it. I was like, this is terrible. I'm still angry about it. Hello.
I hear that. Bitter.
I was. I was so, because like, I literally, in the review, I said, because that was a review, I was like, you've just done Steffenfeld a disservice. It's like, you've just no respect for, you just slapped his name on the box and nothing else. And you haven't, anyway, I was really, it's a fun little game, but it's, I was very angry.
Nice. Yeah, I have two elements with negative. First off, if I really just didn't like a game, it's hard for me to go back and play it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing, right?
And I mean, this is just something I do for fun. Like, I take reviewing seriously. But at the end of the day, it is an amateur thing for me in terms of that. But, you know, I still try to do a full review on something. But the interesting ones is the games where, like, I will, like, tweet about it or talk about it to people. And I played the game once or twice. I'm like, it's amazing. And then I go and I actually play it five times. And I'm like,
and
it's fun. And you catch yourself somewhere in there, because I try not to review games after one, or I just say that I played it once, especially games I don't get my hands on. If I don't, you know, if I played it with somebody, I still want to cover the game, but I'll say that. And if it wasn't sent to me by the publisher, then I don't owe them more than that in my mind.
That's exactly, I agree with you 100%.
But then you get in that somewhere in that 2 to 5, and at 5, you're like, oh, this isn't as fun as it was at 2.
I've played this game and I've done it and it's done now. And that's good. Yeah.
And
that's
five plays of a game is great. I mean, it scares me to do five plays of a $300 all-in pledge Kickstarter game. But five plays of a $40 Steffenfeld game or $60 or quid or whatever you're paying is... That doesn't bother me. You know, I could play Bonfire 5 times and be perfectly happy that I played it 5 times.
I got Bonfire. It's one of the only games I've ever actually pre-ordered. And I pre-ordered it from a store and I've still not played it. I just haven't had the chance. I just like, I'm desperate to play it because I love, I'm definitely, my gaming taste has changed so much. I'm still like, I do love the head down solitaire Euro games. I still love those type of games, right? But I've got a bunch of war games now and a bunch of different games, and playing games with Paula has changed my opinion on games and stuff. But if a new Steffenfeld game comes out, I'm excited about it. That's one of the things I'm like, yeah, let's get this. I'm excited. But I've not had the chance to play Bonfire yet. I've heard it's good, but it's a lot going on, maybe. I don't know.
No, I thought it was good.
Yeah, good. That's what I
need to know. No, I think it was fun. I mean, it is that heads down. I generally don't care what you're doing, except what you're doing, triggers the timing for the end of the game.
Yeah.
So I need to know how close you are to ending the game, which kind of feels like Scythe, I guess. Obviously, there's the whole battles with Scythe, but the whole, I mean, that's my major issue with Scythe. I love Scythe until the last two rounds of the game, and then I just want to throw everything across the table because I'm like, ah, it's this precise, like, efficiency engine into this, like, oh, I got you, and now I have control of all this area, and you can't score points.
It's like a push your luck at the end of Scythe, isn't it? It
totally is. It totally is.
Without doing that thing that's going to get you a bunch of points, right? How long?
Yeah.
My problem with Scythe is I was desperate to love Scythe because Viticulture is probably my favorite game of all time. So I was desperate to love Scythe. Just because it's Stonemaier. But I just, it's that, I don't mind if it's a game where me and you are fighting it out to the death in the game, that's the point, great. Do everything you can, every little dirty trick. But if it's a game where me and you are doing our Euro stuff,
right?
And, oh, that's great as well. But when those two things mix and you're, it's why I didn't like Firenze. Is it called Firenze? That's a
tower. Yeah, where you stack the little tokens to build buildings.
I don't like anything where if I'm building something, I don't want anyone to have the power to break. I don't mind someone stopping me from building something, but once it's built, I don't want anyone to be able to touch it. I don't want you to be able to, like, stop me from doing something, but never. I don't want anyone ever in any game I can think of. But I guarantee there's exceptions. But if I build something, I don't want you to be able to take that away from me. Because it's like, hey, I've achieved this. And I've just that's a feel-bad moment for me. But yeah.
Makes sense.
Games are fun.
We still got to go through things you're doing. So you're streaming on Twitch. You and Paul are streaming, playing on various platforms.
Me and Paul stream on Gen Con's Twitch channel every Wednesday.
Gen Con's Twitch channel.
Me and Paula play on her channel, like, sometimes, board games. And I've got my own personal Twitch, which I've kind of just started doing as a way for me to... I needed to find something else in my life to monetize, so I decided to monetize my downtime. So I'm now streaming me playing... Like, I can force myself to have time off if I stream me playing a video game.
There you go.
Nothing all in my life is sacred. I'm not. I'll monetize anything that I possibly can. Nothing sacred.
You edit Stephen and Ignacy's podcast, and I assume some other podcasts that I don't know about.
Yeah, I do a couple. I do some, like, business. I edit podcasts on this as a side thing.
Okay.
So I edit. Yeah. I edit Board Games Insider, and I edit a few other non-board game podcasts. So got I get it. The news. I get their insider information a few days earlier than everyone else.
So you've got all your GameStop stock lined up or whatever?
Yeah. CMON stock and all that kind of thing.
There you go.
That's true. I've got that inside. I've never, like, found out a piece of news on their podcast and then gone, oh, great, I'm selling this game because I know it's being re-released, or I'll, you know, beat everyone to the punch. It's one of my favorite things about Facebook board game groups is that when something gets reprinted, everyone starts selling it. I love it. It's like, oh, everyone's selling all their Spartacus stuff because it got reprinted. Or everyone, like, I've seen so many people selling Everdell stuff that they've been holding on to. But Battlestar Galactica, because it's getting remade, but with the, I think it's going to have a Cthulhu skin on it. It's not going to have the thing. It's like people have been selling their Battlestar Galactica stuff for ludicrous money. Just reprint Glory to Rome. That's the only one game you need to do. It's the one game that needs to get reprinted. Just do it. Just reprint.
It's right there. I got it right there.
My copy is Italian, and I pasted it up completely, every card, and it's nice. Cartoony artwork. I tell you, I don't want the Black Box edition. No I want way. The other edition because it's a silly, silly game.
It has the vomitorium in it. Who wants a serious vomitorium?
The Black Box edition is very stylistic, but it's not the spirit of the game. It's such a dumb game. When you kind of like, I'm doing this action five times. It's so stupid. It's a ridiculous game.
Dan will not let it go. How I just crushed everybody in that game at Dice Tower Con. Well, he's like, why would I want to play this game? And I was like, you never know. Somebody's going to do that. Somebody's going to run away because it's just asking you to overpower yourself and then win. And sometimes it's one person, sometimes it's another. It's not really like massive. The skill of the game, it's just what you get, but it's so
not like a massively long game. It's a confusing, it's difficult to understand how the game works the first time you play it. And I do appreciate that. But it's not particularly complicated. It's not particularly long. It's just a silly card game, right? That's really what it is. I think people have built it up to be this amazing thing. But it's a brilliant game, obviously.
Love totally it. Brilliant. Just it's short. It's 40 minutes of just ridiculousness. And let's see if we can. And it asks you to all team up to take that person down. Mm-hmm. Right? It's exactly. Like, oh, you've got to. They've got too powerful of a card. All right. And then the last thing is you are on Rodney Smith's channel on Watch It Played doing some kind of news. What is it called?
So I do Cult of the News, which is
Cult of the News. That's
twice. It's like Cult of the New.
I got it. Oh, I got it. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I was real happy when I thought of that. I think Chaz thought of that, actually, and I was angry about it. But I'm going to pretend. In my mind, I'm remembering now that I came up with that.
Chaz, the person who's funnier than you, that one?
Yes, the one. And he, that's it. And my mentor in life, Chaz Marlon. So I do that two times a month. I do the news on there. And I also do, I also host one of the top 10 videos that come out, which are, not like top 10 best this or top 10 best that. It's like my video is top 10 games that viewers are excited about this month. Right. People vote on the list and stuff. So it's that kind of stuff. And they're silly. They're silly videos. They try to be fun.
They're fun. I enjoy them.
Yeah, we try to. A lot of people think gaming is a real serious, serious topic. They're not. They're toys.
They're toys. As I'm sitting here with like Marvel champions in front of me.
Right?
In terms of all that. Awesome. So that's the podcast. We got through all the things you do.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great. 45 minutes later, we got through everything. Is there anything else that we don't know about that we didn't get to?
I do a podcast called Death by Monsters, which is a completely non-board game restart.
I didn't know that, and I forgot.
But it's me, Paula Demigan, Nick Murphy, and it's a podcast about monsters, mysteries, and the unknown. It's just a bit of fun, where we talk about weird things in the world, cryptids, mysteries, treasure. I like things, anything about treasure. I love stories about treasure. It's just that. It takes a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun.
You know, some people take monsters very seriously.
You can't, because they are innately dumb and stupid and hilarious. Apart from Bigfoot, who is real. I do believe in Bigfoot. Do you know this about me? I genuinely believe in Bigfoot.
I do know. I've perused some episodes of Death by Monsters.
He's out there.
And he's got all the copies of Glory to Rome.
Imagine if that was this, if that was it. You son of a gun.
All right, well, people don't listen to this podcast just to hear us jabber. That's what Sporadically Bored is for.
Very true.
So we should review some games. So what have you been playing lately?
All right.
Matthew.
I played today, for the first time, I only played it once, I played Caper Europe, which is on Kickstarter right now, at the time of recording this. And this is in no way affiliated with the Kickstarter or anything. I just happened to have played the game, because it's on Tabletop Simulator. And I really liked it. And I was really surprised, because the original Caper came out and I think sold out immediately.
Mm.
And I thought, cool, that's a game I'll never have to think about, because I'll probably never play it. There's too many games and I'm not going to worry about it. And then Caper 2 came out, and Caper Europe is called. And I played it I thought, actually, this is really, really up my street. And Paula said, I thought you'd like this. But the thing is, it's from Keymaster, and I don't care for Parks by Keymaster.
Okay.
I think Parks is a lovely looking game, but I will just play Takedo if I want to play a game like Parks. And I just don't, it's fine. It's absolutely fine, but I don't think it's much of a game, personally. I was surprised, actually, because I did think that Parks Memories, which is a memory game, kind of with extra powers and stuff, I did think that was really fun. I thought Parks Memories was really good. But so I wasn't like, oh, it's a Keymaster game, so I love it. And it's really good. The way I thought about it, it's kind of a bit like if Seven Wonders had Seven Wonders, it's like a mix between Seven Wonders style game, because you're doing a lot of drafting and you're trying to get powers and stuff, and something like Battle Line or Lost Seas. Because it's a two-player game, you're playing on two sides of the board, and there's six drafts in the whole game, and every other round, you're drafting either thieves to go to one of the three destinations, or you're drafting gear to go on to the thieves at those destinations. You're going to try and score in a bunch of ways. You're trying to get the loot from the different destinations, and you're trying to win the destinations because there's points on those cards and there's special powers on all those cards, the destinations. So this destination means I'm going to get extra points for this, and this destination means I'm going to get extra points for doing this and this. And you can also get points actually on your cards, on the thieves themselves. And it's like, so set collection points. So there's about three distinct ways to earn points in the games. And I think they're all, you have to do well in two of them to win. I feel like it's one of those kind of games. You don't necessarily have to do all of them, but do well in two of them and you're going to win. I just thought it was really good because it's two player, which right. I like, rather than it's like Hedara and Seven Wonders. It's like, let's make these seven-player games. I get that, but this is just a two-player drafting game. You just go back and forth. And I love combos, and this has lots of little combos. It's like, now I'm going to get points for sets and stuff. And every decision, and money is part of the economy of the game as well. So you want to play the thieves that give you money for playing them, because the loot's going to cost you money. But you want to play the better thieves, have no money but better powers, so that kind of balance. Every card seemed important, every decision seemed important for the whole game, and it plays in about 40 minutes. I bet if me and you were playing it, we both knew it, we'd play it in 30 minutes, you know what I mean? And I just thought it was really good, and I was really surprised by it. I think what made me like it even more was the fact that I was so surprised by liking it, right? But I thought it was really good, and I'm not going to back the Kickstarter, but I would consider picking it up at some point when it's out of retail. But then again, just like Parks, it was in retail, then it was out of retail, then it was in retail, and the first Caper was out of print. I don't think Keymaster right. Games publish, make enough games. I don't think they print enough. Yeah. Is their problem, but I appreciate that's always a issue.
Well, they always have a really nice look. That's a great production quality of Keymaster is re- even this is a cart. Well, I played Caper. Have Caper, and like just for a card game, it's just like they put the, you know, the kind of like foil edges, like either mm-hmm. gold or silver foil edges on there, and they just really play up the cards nicely, you know.
And I think there's two versions you can back on Kickstarter at the moment. I think there's a retail version and a Kickstarter version. The Kickstarter version is all embossed and all that kind of stuff with metal coins, and as much as that's nice, I don't normally care about that kind of stuff, but the retail version looks like it's going to be really nice. And like they do good box inserts and that kind of stuff. And the cool thing is that you can play different locations. So you can do right. Caper Paris, and there's different cards that go into the deck and different locations that come out. Or Rome, and there's different cards that go in the deck. So it seems to have, I think it's going to be like five different locations. And even if you play the location multiple times, just different cards are going to get shuffled in. Right. So it seems to have a lot of replayability. But then again, with Seven Wonders Duel, and Battle Line, Lost Cities, they don't have different stuff coming up necessarily in each game, but they have, as far as I'm concerned, infinite replayability, especially Lost yeah. Cities. So hopefully, I think I'm excited. I want to play it more, and because I've only played it once, but I really enjoyed it. That's it. KP Europe.
We can never figure out when we play Battle Line or Shot and Totten, I think is the one. I think actually both. Whether we want those tactics cards or not. Like, yeah, do we want it to just be a straight game, or do we want there to be these little tricky things to? So it feels like when we haven't played the game in 6 months, we play without the tactics cards, and then once we've played it a handful of times, we throw them back in to see if it changes the game. But that's happy without them.
I think the same.
I know exactly what you could have. There's no tricks, right? And I'm just trying to figure that out.
Well, that's what I mean. That's the same thing with. Lost Cities has two mini expansions, right? There's the fifth, there's a sixth location, which essentially makes the game easier. There's like the black location, which kind of makes the game easier because you've got more options, right? And then there's goals. There's like a pack of goal cards that they released. And I think you want to have a certain amount of cards in a certain place or not go to. And they're very simple, but I really like them. But again, I don't need any expansions for Lost Cities, and I could still play that game hundreds and hundreds of times in a
I mean, it's one of those ones we just take the deck.
Yeah, exactly.
We travel.
You don't need the little
I remember playing it like on the ferry. We're going to Block Island, which is like a nice island that's right near us, just for the day trip, you know. And we're playing Lost Cities, and there's dolphins jumping next to the boat. It was like, what's going on right now? This is amazing.
It's like wow, this game's finally thematic. We're on an expedition.
Yeah, it was crazy. Excuse me for one second. I'm going to try to switch this microphone to my headset because I think I might be getting some feedback.
Go for it.
It will not take long. You could just entertain the audience.
Well, hello, audience. My name's Maddie J, and no, nobody calls me that. Caper was really fun, people. Is this awkward?
I struggle to even say Matt. I like Matthew.
I go with Matthew. I do prefer Matthew, if I'm perfectly honest. When people say, what do you prefer, Matt or Matthew? I do say Matthew, but don't worry about it. But in my heart, I'm thinking, please call me Matthew. I don't like Matt.
This should be working. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, but now I can't hear you. Can you talk?
Hello.
Oh, goodness gracious. Really? Oh, no. All right. You can hear me.
Big time. Big time can hear you.
But I cannot hear you.
You know, that's the fun thing about making content is that sometimes stuff goes wrong. Big time. Goes wrong.
You hear me?
Yeah.
All right, we're going with the webcam. Hopefully
sounds good.
Okay, is there any echo on your end?
No, not at all.
All right. All right, trying to fix it, but that's what we get. All right, so first up for me is a game that I have heard you say good things about, and I haven't played it. It's a little bit older, probably 2017, I want to say. Riverboat?
Riverboat! That's a great game.
Yeah, so this is from Michael Kiesling. He's done a couple popular games.
Well, you may have heard one or two.
And it's from Lookout Games, I guess published here. So the one thing with my copy is that it is cut horribly, the tiles.
Yeah, that's really not good.
And I considered sending it back, but it's...
Wow, yeah. That's so weird.
But I just figured, I don't know. I was like, you know what? I can play a game and not have it look great. I feel like if they send it back, like they owe me a good copy, but if I send it back, they're just going to trash it. And then it's just sitting in the trash and I could just play this copy and somebody in the world can have my good copy. I'm not telling people they should do whichever. They should do whatever
absolutely
for them. This is just what I chose. So we got a chance to play Riverboat. So it is, you're going up and down the Mississippi River and you're picking up all these rafts. It plays over four rounds. And it's interesting. It's like you draft to be in control of each of the five phases. Mm-hmm. And then if you're in control, you get to go first and you get a bonus. So coins are points in this game, and then coins can be spent each round to kind of like give you a wild in each round. So you're going to draw all these farming cards and place them out over your own personal farming board, which has five suits, so it has the four suits that are in a deck of cards and then like stars or something, I think might be.
Yeah.
And you're trying to put them all out on the board, but each board is unique and you're trying to get all of your workers kind of adjacent, because the next round you get to like sow seeds and plant various crops, and then you're drafting again from a tile, like tiles on the board. And if you can have people all together, you can get bigger tiles, which doesn't give you as many options, but it gives you victory points. And then I can't remember exactly the other. I think the round after that, then you're going to trade in those crops like twice to get the river boats, the various rafts that are going up and down the river. And the bigger, the better bonus in terms of that. So you're trying to get like groups of the same type. Like I want to have a whole bunch of pumpkins and turn
them
in.
It's just contracts, right? It's just, yeah, it's exactly. Just your contracts.
It's completing contracts. And then you get like bonus cards that you could possibly complete. So it's like drafting cards you could do. And then the last phase is you get to like complete various bonuses. You can put wells in your field. You can put barns in your field. You can complete these contract cards. And then you send like agents, I think they're called, which is a weird term. I don't know where that's coming from, but I imagine people who just work for you, like you start to represent yourself in New Orleans, mm-hmm. Which is the end of the river, and you get bonus points for all those things. So the earlier you turn in things, the more like extra points you're going to get at the end of each round, but you might not score as much. So that's that balance of, do I want to maximize this or do I want to get bonus points going each round?
And there's like an area majority. There's like an area majority with the people you send off as well. Because yep. if you control it, you get extra things, and you can only score a certain amount of things for how many are they the yellow meeples that you have. You can only in order to score the bonuses, you need to have a worker, as it were, to go onto those bonuses. Is that right?
That's correct. Pretty, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what it's are like, they? There's like green workers, and I don't.
Yeah, they're back. Yeah, and it's just foreman or something like that, and. Yeah, because it's like, do I use this now or do I? You don't have any left, because if you have some of those left, you know you had a wasteful turn getting it, right? So you want to make sure you do. I thought it was really good. So what's your opinion?
Yeah, we thought it was great. It feels, people will say this a lot, it feels like a classic Euro, right?
Yeah.
It just feels a little bit, it's not trying to have too many bells and whistles. It's just trying to get you to think about each round and from each phase, you're like, do I want to go first in this round? What are they going to take? So you're trying to read the other player. I mean, again, we were playing two-player, Kathy and I, which is that great heads up. Like, okay.
It's great two-player.
I have to do this. So I know I don't need to go first in that round, but I really need this. I started running out of the workers really fast. So I needed the one where you get a bonus worker at the start of the round. But Kathy got those from me both times. So then I was like, oh, no, now I don't have all the workers and I'm short on each round. It's just that whole efficiency engine that you're
on. What it kind of felt like to me as well is that it was kind of like throwing in all our – it felt like – not like lots of little mini games, but it did feel like, oh, I can see where he's taken this idea from one of his other games. I can see this idea from another game. Like, right. Oh, this is a bit Azuli right now. I can feel like that because you kind of put the tiles in your thing in the specific way, and it just feels like I think some people might say, oh, it feels like a bunch of mechanisms thrown into a bag and shaken up and stuff, but it just works so well. I really like that it's this phase and this phase and this phase and this phase. It's not like a Uwe Rosenberg game where it's like everything's going on all at the same time. It's like, this is what we do, and it's like quite organized that way. Oh man, I just thought it was really good and super. It just was, just didn't hit right. It's just not a popular game, even though I think it's so good. It just didn't hit.
Yeah.
I then again, it's like Clemens Franz artwork on it and stuff. And it's like, if a game's got Clemens Franz artwork, I'm like, oh, I probably will like this Euro. I just happen, I know that. So I thought it was great.
No, yeah, it was really fun. I mean, if you jump to Michael Kiesling, obviously recent is Azul, and it's way heavier than that.
Oh, yeah, big time.
But it's not heavy. I mean, to a gamer, which is always a weird term anyway, but people who are wanting to seek out and play more strategy games, it's right in that medium wheelhouse, right around Castles of Burgundy. I would make it a little maybe easier because of the phases and the length. The length is just a little shorter than a Castle of Burgundy.
I think it's, right there with Castles of Burgundy pretty much, because it's heavier than Castles of Tuscany, for instance.
Correct.
By quite a margin. And you've played Tuscany, right? Castles of Tuscany?
Yep.
Mate, that game. Love it. I love it. I think it's really good. But yeah, Riverboat, I thought, was just a fantastic. What's the latest? What's he done recently? What's his most recent game?
Renature.
Yes, I've got that. I did a video about that.
I think it's Kramer and Kiesling.
That is Kramer.
Kramer and Kiesling. I should have hit Kramer, not Kiesling.
It's Kramer and Kiesling.
Well, it's just because we were talking about Kiesling.
That's exactly.
Kramer. Kramer.
I'm so glad you've played that now, though, because it's such a good one.
Yeah, no, it was fun. It was kind of one of those ones where, like, I was tending to order and pick up a few more games, with COVID going on. We're just trying to play more games at home. And I knew it was one you were talking about. And I was like, oh, I got to try that. So I picked it up. And yeah, it was lots of fun. I don't know at four. It's one of those games where I'm like, I try to really think about Euros where if I go from two players to four players and I double the time, will I be happy?
I just think that a game shouldn't. I think a really great game is a game that doesn't double the time if you play it with double the players, right? But sometimes that's just the way it's going to be, right? Castles of Burgundy is going to be. It's going to be 50. It's going to be, if you double the time, you're going to double the players, double the time, because that's just the way that game is, right? Yeah. Pretty much. Well, tell me about the other one that you've wanted to review. Because I was going to talk about Bogle Bros, which is an old game. Played it recently. Never played it before. Really enjoyed it. Was quite surprised. But what I really want to play is Bogle Bros 2. So that's how I feel about that one.
Nice. So, the other one I don't have anymore because we finished it up and passed it on, but it's Star Wars Unlock.
Oh, cool.
So we got a chance to play the Star Wars one. A couple episodes ago, I had Eric Summer on, and we both had played the new Mythic Adventures one. And so, yeah, I had picked that one up, and then when he said he was playing them, I was like, oh, I'm going to play them all before you get on the episode. So I did that. And then since we were playing the Unlocks, we went to the Star Wars one. So I had done the first one a while ago because Brian, the store owner, lived with us all the way until Christmas, him and his family, and then they got a house, he had another kid, and all that, and now it's funny they're not in our bubble anymore.
Yeah.
Even though they lived with us for, I don't know, 19 months prior to that. So he had the Star Wars Unlocked, so we had played one of them with the kids, and the tricky part is the Star Wars one does a really good job as an intro. Like, it's really good about... It's pretty straightforward. It gets unlock is the innovative one. So when people say exit or unlock, it's that total. I tend to like exit better, but the reason unlock is better is that it's more innovative.
Well, it makes sense as well because this is going to get people. They're hoping that people who like Star Wars will buy a board game and then maybe want to buy more board games in the future that don't have Star Wars on front. So that's cool. So, was there anything that really surprised you in those games, in the actual missions?
Yes. I mean, the thing that surprised me the most, the Star Wars element was, like, okay, but it's extremely generic. Like, they couldn't even get the license for the music. So the app plays, like, the planets, you know, the
well, close enough. Let's be real honest.
No, it is. I mean, that's where the inspiration came from. So it makes sense. But again, you know, you're not there. And then it's like, you're a random person trying to escape Hoth during the Battle of Hoth, but there's no Luke or anything, you know?
Yeah. Like,
so they did that kind of thing. I can't remember. Some of them might have some of those characters that you come across. And then they did like Jeddah, which is the one from Rogue One, the planet on Rogue One. And what was the second one? The second one, you're trying to free yourself. You're just like a smuggler and you're trying to free yourself from a Star Destroyer and get your, so it's more of that playing into that smuggler. You're on a Star Destroyer. So it was all fine. You know, it was good. It wasn't like the most engaging thing I've seen. And the third one seemed to frustrate us the most. The second one I think was the best one. But the best part is like when they get you on the app, they're really doing a good job of like unique things that you have to do, whether you shake it or whether it's like a puzzle with your finger. It's very tactile. And that's a great thing that you could do with the app. I think people always fear that the app is just like a video game and you're supposed to completely interact with it, but you don't. You put it down and then it's like, oh, now you have to do this puzzle on the app. And it takes advantage of motion mechanics and sound.
That's cool though, because that's very Star Warsy as well, because you're kind of like, you're doing this thing, then you got to hack this computer to get through there, do that over there, and then go back and start escaping. Then you got to hop, you know, that's kind of like hotwire this droid or something. And I think that when they use apps like that, it's cool. Because I really recently just got sent the exit, the Sacred Temple.
Okay.
Which is an exit game, which I opened up and it had four bags of jigsaw puzzle pieces in it.
It's the bigger one? Is it like...
I'll show you.
Double wide?
Yeah, it is. It's double wide. Looks like this.
Yeah, so these ones are either two sessions or, oh, it's got the puzzles in it. Okay.
So it's puzzle pieces. It's got... I think it's all about code breaking, essentially, because you've got to find different... You've got different... artifacts, which I think once you put the got the puzzle finished, you'll put the artifacts onto the puzzle and try like and have what certain things highlighted. I'm not 100% sure because I have not played it yet, but and it comes with one of those like, you know, the little matrixes and stuff. But I just thought, it makes sense though, because I don't know about you, but I've been seeing a lot more people doing puzzles, like jigsaw puzzles recently.
Yep.
And I don't think I've ever done a jigsaw puzzle in my life. But I'm excited about this. I'm gonna do them on my own probably because you could play with up to four players. But see, it says here though that playtime is 2 to 3 hours. Now I don't know if is this four games or is it one game with four puzzles? I'm not quite sure, but we'll see. So I'm excited about that at some point.
Yeah, you probably build the puzzles to work your way through the one story.
I have to assume that's what you're doing. And I imagine you kind of do it. I have to assume there's all the jigsaw puzzles. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. I'm talking about a game. I have no idea. I just have it. Oh, I will talk to you quickly. Have you played Red Cathedral?
Oh, yeah.
That game.
There is a solo play on our channel. This is the annoying thing I get to do now all the time. I get to tell people, it's on our channel. I played a solo game of it.
That might be my favorite game of last year.
Yeah.
I think it could very well be, though. I think it's utterly incredible. I think it's amazing.
It's really good. My one issue was the four-player game was pretty long and quite swingy on the points. Because we had a tower that might have been 6 tall. It was either 5 or 6 tall. So you have to fight over that one. So the person that won came back in endgame scoring from like 32 points down by just getting... Now, which is great, because that's what the game's asking you to do, but there's a lot more points on the table in a four-player game than in a two-player game. Up for grabs.
I can totally see that because there are certain things that if you let them go, you've got so much headway to make everywhere else. And that person has managed, because it's not necessarily, it's timing with it. It's not necessarily anything other than the timing of getting in the top of one of those, like the majority of one of those towers. Yeah. So you can do that, do well with the timing and do everything else. But if you do poorly with that timing, you've got to do super well with everything else. But I still thought it was absolutely incredible.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I focused on the negative instead of the positive, which is it's a great game.
But I totally agree with you.
The solo's very unique, and it's hard.
Good. That's what I want.
I lost horribly when I played on the channel, like 45-17 or something wretched.
That's pretty bad. That's
it was really bad. But, I mean, whatever. I figure there's nowhere to go but up at that point. So.
Exactly. And that's the spirit of it. You got to just keep on improving yourself. Get better. Get better.
Yeah, but I played it like back-to-back then, two-player, and it was just phenomenal.
Yeah,
it's great. That was a great game from last year for sure.
That's it.
Awesome. Anything else to talk about?
I've got a game sent to me.
Games-wise.
I got a game sent to me recently, which I've not played yet. I will show it you, but I've not actually played it. But I will show you a game that I'm hoping to get played soon.
Hold on. Also have to say it because it's a podcast.
Huh?
You also have to say what it is because it's a podcast.
True. Okay, it's a game called Juicy Fruits.
Okay.
But it's from PSC Games.
They make board games?
And Deep Print. But I believe it's Capstone Games in America who are doing it.
Ah.
One of their games in their family line of games that they're kind of coming out with.
Simply Complex.
Simply Complex. And it looks really fun. It's about filling contracts, but you've got to put tiles on a board and stuff. I know very little about it, but I'm really excited about it. So, because I've realized the one reason I'm excited about this is because of people I normally play games with, being my brother, essentially, and his girlfriend, his fiance, is that they don't want to play necessarily the games I want to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to play. If I'm going to pick out a game to play with them, it's going to be very different between a game I'm going to pick out with you and Kathy, right? It's going to be a completely different type of game. I wouldn't mind. I'd like, hey, let's play this. Like, let's play this big. And there's nothing, no wrong, there's no problem with that at all, right? But I just like to try to, like, I like to aim the games I'm playing with people at what I think they will like rather than what I'm desperate to play.
Right.
Because if they don't enjoy it, they're not going to play the next one, right? So, but that seems really fun. Fruit and stuff, and you're filling contracts. But the production looks really, really good. I'm excited about it. There's tile laying. Tile laying is something my brother loves and his girlfriend, and I love tile laying, which is why I'm excited about the announcement I heard today. I heard announcements that there's going to be a Teotihuacan tile laying game.
Okay.
Just got announced.
Interesting. I heard that.
Just
got news here on the Portal Gaming Podcast.
It's true. I'm in with the news. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. But that's not a review. That's a, hey, look at this game I got.
Nice. Well, while we're doing that, I don't have as many reviews because we're in two campaign games that we're kind of finishing up. And I try as best I can to review them after I finish, but we're very close to the end of My City.
which is so good.
It's impeccable. It's amazing.
Very good, and yeah, it's great to play games in 20 minutes. We're closer to 30 minutes a game now. It gets a little more complex.
Yeah,
not really. The game doesn't get complex. The decisions get more complex, which is part of the beauty of the game.
And the game can get more. The game can ramp up quite a lot, but it does it in such small little increments that it's not like terrifying to anyone. And yeah,
I think we just played game 19 of 24. So I think we've
got So you're close to the end. You could finish.
So I'm gonna wait. Yeah. I don't like to play more than two or three at a time. Mm-hmm. I find after that I'm kind of done with the game, not in a bad way. Just I also don't want it to go so fast. Like I don't really want to play Pandemic Legacy Season 1 in a day.
Nick and Mike Murphy. But actually, I was going to say, I know quite a few people, Nick and Mike Murphy being two of them, who have finished My City and bought a new copy already.
Wow. Yeah. No, it's good. It's really fun. Had I been able to play more of it, I probably would have been in my top 10 last year.
Because it comes in episodes. Yeah, it would be big in my top 10 of last year as well, I think. Oh, definitely, I know it would be. It comes in episodes, right? So there's three games per episode, like per envelope that you're opening. And I think that's what they want you to play. I think they want you to play one episode each time you play it, right? That's how I feel. Like they want you to do... Yeah. So if you do that, it's like an hour and a half of game. Yeah. That makes sense. Anyway, what's the other campaign you do?
The other one, we're one game in to Sleeping Gods.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's going to be...
Yeah.
How long is the campaign for that? Does it give you an idea?
It says 10 to... It says 1 to 20 hours. It seems to be 10 to 20. So it's really like... I mean, it's almost like a roguelike, like video games, you know, where you're supposed to play it and then play again. It almost has that kind of feel, like you're supposed to do a campaign and then you could go west instead of east and... There's a whole different thing to explore. So that's where like a lot of it comes in. So the best I can get for the timer is every round you flip an event card and there are 18 event cards. And when you complete the deck of 18 event cards, I don't know if you shuffle it or you draw 18 more. And there's an event that happens after that. And you play through that deck three times, which is 54 events.
Okay.
So you figure 54 rounds and a round, you know, I guess is 15 minutes to a half hour. So if it was a half hour, that would be 27 hours. That sounds a little long. So more in the 15 minutes for a round. So that makes sense to me, about 15 hours to play
a session. Ryan Lockett game. Red Raven Games, right?
Yeah.
This is their game that I'm the most excited about. And I am very interested in it. I've never played any of the Above and Belows and Near and Fars and all those. I'm sure I'd enjoy them, but I mean, I'm on February of Pandemic Season 1, and I've been there for 2 years. It's never going to happen, right? So those kind of games, I just don't have the group to play them with. But man, I'm just hearing a lot of good things about it. So I will be interested to know how you feel. Let me know how you feel once you've finished it, because I want a seal of approval from you, and then I'll know.
Well, I will let you know. We'll see how it goes and how many. Again, I do almost all my campaign and legacy games with Kathy and I exclusively because they get played.
If you can't do it two player, then I don't think a campaign game like that, if they don't have a two player option.
And actually, the best one, and you need to play it, is Rise of Queensdale.
Oh, I really want Rise of Queensdale. I really want it.
It's so up your alley. I'm pretty sure.
You got
to play it two player though. Even though there's some parts of it that probably beg to play with three or four, because there's like quadrants and you each pick a quadrant and then that's where you are. So there's nothing to travel through. But you're not. It's like 18 games. There's no 18 like solid Euro games. I'm talking. 60 to 90 minute games, you know.
I heard that it is actually quite fun to play once you finish the campaign if you want to. But then again, if I'm playing it 16 times,
you'll be done with it. But no,
I'll be done, but
happily done with it.
That's the one I want. I don't think that's as imprint as I would like it to be, but it is one I'm looking for. That's one of the, I forgot how interested I was in that game until you just mentioned it, but you are right.
The only negative is that it has a phase 10 mechanism where you're trying to complete your goal. And once you do, you move on to the next goal, but the other person's completing the previous goal. But it has a thing where like, oh, I can start here. So some of the games, every third game, is somebody just trying to finish up their little goal. So you're just scrambling because they're going to win. And you're just scrambling to do other things, which is a little bit of a negative, but you just get used to it. It's just part of the game. You know, it's a feature, not a bug kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, man, I am interested in that game. I've just remembered how much I was thinking, this looks like the campaign game for me, you know, because it's like, it's such a Euro. And a Euro.
I guess I lie when I say that because Gloomhaven is by far my favorite. But Gloomhaven is its own thing.
Never played it.
From Legacy and whatnot. Yeah, I don't know if you would like it, but of course, Jaws of the Lion just does such a great job bringing people in.
I was going to play Gloomhaven, it would be Jaws of the Lion is what I'd go with. No question.
All right. So what I've got here, because we're going to wrap up in a little bit, because actually where I am, it's getting close to dinner time. But I have a bunch of games, and I just want to see if I think you would be interested in them. And I want to see if you played them or if you know anything about them. So the first one is the biggest. This is from Level 99, Imperial Spells and Steam. I totally just knocked everything in the box.
Oh, there's so much stuff in that box.
Have you played this?
I've done a video for it. Yeah, I have a copy.
Awesome. Do you want to say whether you enjoyed it or not?
Yeah, it's good. It's a bit ridiculous in the sense that you're kind of going through and doing train stuff, but with loads of massive wacky superpowers, essentially.
It remind those superpowers that make no sense remind me of Glory to Rome. It does.
Yeah, that's right. It's very, just very true.
And the game is really putting your superpowers together. More than, how do I build? It's not Ticket to Ride. It's not Age of Steam. It's not Railways of the World. Like
that. Railways of the World is one of my favorite games of all time, though. I will say that.
But you're not trying to make networks to maximize. It's all about what powers can I use. And then it's really a rondel mechanism. So that one is neat.
Because the actual boards, the actual player board is the rondel. And the personal board is the rondel. And the actual player board is like there's some deliveries to make. I will say, I think the biggest negative for that game is the box.
Yeah.
If that game was in a ticket to ride size box, I would be infinitely more like, it's like, should I get rid of this game or not? It's just so massive. I don't like cubes. I love Suburbia, but the Suburbia Massive Collector's Edition, which I've got, I kind of just want Suburbia normal game.
Light edition.
If I'm honest, just like the normal edition. One. Go on.
Right, the next one is a Haba game, and I'm wondering if you've played it before. It is also a Michael Kiesling game.
Miyazaki. I really want to try this. I really want to try it.
Screams Matthew Jude.
Yeah, Miyabi.
So what's really cool in this is, what's the one we played with Dave? Taverns of Tiefenthal.
Yeah, love it.
So this is not that complex. No. But this has like 6 modules to change the game. And it totally reminds me of Taverns, where I probably would teach it to people or whatever we want to say, gamers, once with the basic rules, and then just throw all the modules in.
That's what I would do with Taverns as well, big time. Right. It's have you played Zen Garden by Queen Games?
Nope.
It's their newest, one of their newest games.
Yeah,
and it's got lots of different modules in it, but really it's just, the modules are just extra ways to score. So it's very simple. So just play with everything. But I keep on thinking about picking Miyabi up. I am interested.
Love this game. And I think you could play this with your brother.
The theming wise as well, this is a home run, guaranteed they'll enjoy that. So yeah. Yep. I'm annoyed that it's good because I do want it. Miyabi is a game I do want. It's one that keeps on making it into my Amazon basket if I need to like push things over a certain limit.
All right, where am I going next? So you said you were playing war games. So I've actually got two here, and I'd be interested to see what you think. You've done Coin, right?
Do
I
have them
here? I think I have Coin games here behind me.
Oh, I can see Pendragon, yeah.
Cuba Libre, Pendragon's there. I've got Gandhi here and All Bridges Burning's up there. So
Fire in the Lake, All Bridges Burning, and Cuba Libre. That's the ones I've got.
So those are great.
People Power, there's a one about China coming out. There's Red Dust Rebellion. Coin games, I'm in.
They're so good.
I want Liberty or Death, but big time.
I do prefer the length of Cuba Libre. Like, that's under 2 hours. The other, Pendragon is ridiculous. It's
Fire in the Lake's a 6 to 7 hour game.
Yeah, easy. Yeah. They're a little too long. All right. Have you played Combat Commander from GMT?
I've not played it. Oh, God.
You have it.
but I do have it.
It's really good. The place it gets bogged down is in the terrain rules. Yeah. So you're trying to deal with all the terrain and the modifiers and all that stuff. But I don't know if you've looked through it, but you flip from the deck of cards to roll dice. And so that you each have a deck of cards, and when you want to do something, you flip the top card of your own deck, and it has dice in the corner, two D6s. So it's all there, and then as you're flipping cards, some of the cards have events. So no matter what you're doing, whether you're flipping cards to see who goes first, flipping cards for attacking, flipping cards for moving through difficult terrain, an event could happen at any moment.
While you were doing this, this happened.
It's great. It's such a good game. Once you get those terrain rules down, it's very streamlined.
What's the length of the game, would you say, roughly?
It's scenario-based, so you're talking 60 to 240 minutes.
Okay, that makes sense.
So there are, like, you know, campaign-style, three armies on the map kind of four-hour ones. But the initial ones are going to take you 2 hours, and when you go back and play those, are going to be 1 hour because you're going to know all those rules.
I'm desperate to play it.
It's one of those ones where the modifiers just, they come to you. Once you know the modifiers, you're not thinking about the modifiers anymore.
Yeah.
It's exactly. Like, oh, I'm at this range, and I fire through this, and blah, 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 so it's going to be this. Yep, I agree. Boom, and you draw.
Yeah. And you're like, I'm desperate to play it.
It's really good. And then, have you played this one? Did I say? I said Combat Commander. I'm trying to make sure I do for the podcast. Combat Commander. Have you played Undaunted? From Osprey.
I have played Undaunted. I've streamed it twice with Paula.
Oh, there you go.
This might be Undaunted, Normandy specifically, could be my top 10 games of all time.
I called it. I knew it. And I'm glad that you played them.
I think it's Undaunted specifically is absolutely incredible. It's so fun. It's so fun. I love it so much. I think that was my... I think I did a list. I think Undaunted Normandy was my favorite game of 2019. I think it's when it came out. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it's great. The only thing I tell people is, like, you really want to get to scenario 5. It's like scenarios 1 and 2.
Four units, right?
You got to get more things on the one I really like is where the Germans have the mortars and they're protecting the three bridges on the river.
Yeah.
And you're trying to make it across. That one is so
That's good. Like the Bridge Too Far scenario, Battle of Nijmegen, I imagine is what it is. But it's I've got Undaunted North Africa, and the North Africa one is slightly zoomed in a bit. It's more like a squad. And it's not, instead of having lots of different people, you've got a squad of people. Because in Undaunted, you've got like your rifleman and all that kind of stuff. But here it's you've got your rifleman. He's your rifleman, right?
Yeah.
And there's vehicles in it, but this year there's something called Reinforcements coming out, which brings out, I think it's more of everything. I think it's an expansion rather than a standalone, and it's more of everything, a solo variant and a bunch of other stuff. But honestly, because it's campaign as well, which is awesome, because it's a whole campaign you play, like 12 scenarios or something, they could release a new Undaunted every year, and I probably would buy it every year. Because I think the copies in Britain, for instance, because it's Osprey Games, are like £20.
Oh yeah,
it's so cheap the value for money is amazing.
Yeah,
you do game. Know me.
All right,
you know me.
I'm doing well. I don't know that I do, but I tried. So this is a game that I'm just interested if you played it, and I herald this game. But I do admit when I teach people, they're like, "That was fun," but they don't seem to seek it out. It's not like Castell, right? You teach people Castell, and they're like, "Okay, mind blown."
Oh, that is a mind blowing. It's mind blowing, and it's. No, I have not heard of this.
So this is Catalyst from Divi Gyochi, and I love this game. So this is like a tableau builder.
It's in the perfect box size.
But it's like a combo. So basically what you want to do in this game, I can't remember the theme. It's like post-apocalyptic, and some people are like superheroes, and they can absorb power, and they're called Catalysts. That's the idea. But it's totally just a card drafting game with resources. And you're drafting off of this like board where, you know, as you slide things down, they get cheaper, et cetera, et cetera. But you're trying to build a tableau in front of you. And then they all have like powers you can trigger. And basically you want to build up a tableau and then explode your tableau because you only score for cards that you've used. So once you draft a card and put it in front of you, You have to use it, and then it goes face down into your score pile.
Well, that's what I love about Valley of the King, because you've got to build up your tableau. Yes. But at some point, you've got to start entombing as many cards as possible, which is just getting those great cards that you've got and then turning them upside down and putting them aside to score. And Dale of Merchants does the same kind of thing, right? Where you're kind of like fulfilling these things on these contracts essentially on the board. When games like that do that, I love, because it's such a tense decision. It's like, can I carry on winning if I destruct what I've built now? You know, am I going to be too far behind? This is a good scoring opportunity. Yeah. I'm interested in this game.
It's really good. It's one I would tell people. I mean, the one I always told people to go back and play is World's Fair. The Renegade.
There's a new version of that out.
And there's a new version coming out. So now I feel like I don't have to tell people, like, it got a second printing. People know it's good. This is the other one that I really push. Dice Tower is obviously the biggest review channel, and Z didn't give it a good rating. So it just kind of gets passed over. But I keep telling people, like, it's so fun. But, you know, I loved it. I got it at Gen Con 1 year, maybe the last year I saw you, maybe the year before that. I can't remember. And I was like, oh, this game's great. Brian went out and got like 10 copies for the store. And we still have like 6 copies. It just doesn't sell. It's just a hard game to sell. It's like I have to sit down and play with people. And then they're like, okay, yeah, no, that was pretty fun. But I love the game. I think
I'm interested.
And it's short. It's like 30 minutes and probably 45. So this is that one where 2 players is 30 minutes and 4 players is 45 minutes. So it's fine. You know, you just add a couple extra cards in and you basically just go till the deck is almost out. And there's a little thing you put and then it tells everybody they got 2 more rounds.
I want to play, is it called Three Sisters?
Oh, yeah.
The dice game by the same people who made Fleet the Dice game. Is that correct? Is all
they called Three Sisters?
Yeah, I'm interested in this game big time. I'm really interested.
It's lighter than Fleet, but it's still right there up in that. This is my copy because I play tested it. So.
My thing is, because again, it's like my brother and his girlfriend, they're like, oh, these Roland Rights are fun. I'm like, I can tell you about some Roland Rights. I can introduce you to a whole world out there. And they've got an allotment where they grow vegetables and stuff. I'm like, this is it. I'm in. I saw this game, I'm like, I'm in. I've seen some people talk about it. I've seen you talk about it. I'm like, this is going to be a home run. So yeah,
we have a playthrough of Three Sisters on our channel. We did on Kickstarter launch day last week. We played from our kitchen, live from our kitchen.
Is it still on Kickstarter right this second?
Oh, yeah. Till maybe April 1st.
I'm tempted to back it.
Yeah.
And I do not back Kickstarter. So I backed Bandada, it was called. It was a little dice game, which reminded me a bit like Biblios and Tussie Mussy kind of thing, which is the last Kickstarter I backed. But I think I backed like 3 Kickstarters in my whole life.
Yeah, I haven't backed a lot, but I recently backed Core Quest to support Dan. Yeah. And I backed Three Sisters because,
this week
I can't be Fleet Dice's number one fan and not back their follow-up.
That's why I asked you. I was like, I know that you're going to be interested in this game, right? And you're right about Fleet the Dice game. I think a lot of people have kind of really come around to enjoying that game a lot. Yeah. I know Nick and Mike Murphy, who love Ron and Wrights, played it and were like, this game's incredible. So,
yep. I taught Mike.
That's it. That's true.
Isaac Childress at the same time.
Did you take it to Dice? Was it at Dice Tower Con? Did you take it with you?
I took it everywhere. I know you had it with you. You name it, I took it there. But yeah, I taught you at Dice Tower Con too.
Yeah, I played it with you. We played it at the house at Dice Tower Con. Yeah, I
remember. The Murder House.
Murder Mansion. That's it.
All right, I got 2 more. These are oldies, so maybe you've played them.
I'm a big fan of old games. Hunting for old games. That's why I enjoy the most.
Maybe 2010 kind of old. Not.
Oh, no, that's it. That's one of the last games I bought was Aquaretta, mate. I'm into it.
This is hands down my favorite game by publisher What's Your Game?
Okay, so it could be Zanguo, I'm going to guess. What is it?
No. I know that theme would be more interesting to you, I think. It is Madeira.
This game blew my melted my brain a little bit, but it is very, very, very good.
Yeah, people often will say they like Nippon, which I think you're a pretty big fan of Nippon.
I am, and it's Dan Hughes' favorite, one of his favorite games of all time.
This, to me, this game blows Nippon out of the water. I absolutely love Madeira. This was the first double worker placement game I ever played, which was obviously extremely popularized by Raiders of the North Sea.
Yes.
Which did it way smoother and way more accessible. Because Raiders of the North Sea is you place your worker, you take the action, you pick up another one, you take the action. It's extremely smooth. Madeira builds in a weight mechanism. You put your worker down and you get something now. And then later at the end of the round, when you pick your worker up, if you have the correct resources,
you get something.
You can get something else. And so you have to plan, but only within a round. Because I struggle with, you've got to plan for 2.5 hours from now.
Yes.
That's a little too much for me. I get it. That's fine. That's the chess thing, right? So I understand. But this is, you've got to plan for 20 minutes from now. And it's like, okay, I can't spend this money. I have to save this money. I'm planning on
But yes.
I spent this That's money and I didn't like. Do yeah, that. Yeah, yeah. And if you don't do the action, you get pirates. And the person with the most pirates gets negative points at the end of the game.
Yeah. I remember playing this.
Awesome.
I played it. I remember playing it. I played for the first time Madeira and Nippon on the same day, and it was a massive mistake. It was a huge mistake. It was too much.
Yeah.
And then I also drove to and from Yorkshire to do it, because I played it with both of them with Dan, I think. And I remember really enjoying the dice, how the dice work in Madeira. I don't remember exactly how they work, but I remember thinking, that's so cool. I'm enjoying how it all. So I remember really loving the game. It's one I would actually like to revisit. It's one of those games you kind of forget about a little bit, but it is. I remember really enjoying it.
Every time I play it, I forget how much I like it. It's just that good. In fact, this is Brian's copy, and he's cleared out a lot of his games from my house. He's not allowed to take it.
Thank you.
I stipulated it. I like it that much. So. Great game, Madeira from What's Your Game. So I think my last one, I don't think you've played it, and I think it's a huge slam dunk, and I think it's the right theme for you, but I don't know. So it is from Starting Player, was the original publisher, and then republished by Capstone Games.
Hold on.
Oh.
Okay, Three Kingdoms. Yes, yes, yes. No,
Have
no,
you
no,
played Three Kingdoms, Three Decks?
I've not, but I've actually, my memory of that game is that whilst I was playing Madeira, the people at the next table were playing Three Kingdoms. I remember it really, really well. I don't know much about this, so tell me.
So this is a three-player only
game. Yeah.
Heavy worker placement game.
It's the unification of China, right?
Correct. Correct. Which I thought was a theme you would enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of bland looking, if you will, although I wouldn't say once you get all the art cards. So what's so neat in this, what makes it so replayable, is first you can play one of the three factions and you sit on a different side of the board based on what faction you are. And then you are competing with both of the factions, and it's worker placement, but there's like a hierarchy. And if you're highest on that one, the other players get a token where they can share a space. So they, like, you, because you're basically your worker
so they can
team up to bid against you.
So if you're like the most powerful person in this area, the two rival factions can team up against. Oh, that is so cool. Clever.
So it is completely taking on what is considered to be the three-player issue, right? Two people will team up against one person, and it's shifting that. So it's like, we're going to team up against Dan Hughes because he's in the lead, but then we do, but I kind of duped you in that, and now I took the lead. So it's now like, the two of you are going to team up against me, so it's asking you to do that.
Meanwhile,
you're competing in different areas in like field growth and strength of army and actual battles, and like making marketplaces with each adjacent city. So clever.
I love games that you kind of have to go into tentative alliances with people, and you have to try and act cool and play it like just a bit calm, because you know that, hey, let's do this together. This would be good for both of us. But you know that it's going to be just that little bit better for you, and you know what you're plans are next. And I love those games where you have to, because if you don't enter into any of those agreements trying to join a game, the game doesn't work. So you kind of have to go along with some people. I love those games where you kind of have to be like, let's do this, and you know it's going to help you more. And that's just, I find that so fun and interesting.
It's pretty overt, Like, it's not, you're not like trying to outsmart that person who is your teammate mm-hmm. for that round. It's pretty overt in that, like, we are going to do this. In fact, sometimes you both agree just to put your markers there and the other person won't even, like, you don't go where somebody else is.
Yes.
You protect it. You're like, we're going to go here and you can't get access to it. So it works really well. And then what makes it so replayable is you've got a deck of like characters that you get. And every game, each round, you like draw a certain number. It's based on which faction you are. Like, one faction starts with five characters in play, so they can do five worker placements, but then they draw less and less as the game goes on. The mm-hmm. other faction starts with three, but they draw more and more as the game goes on. So one faction naturally gets more powerful and the other faction naturally gets weaker. You draw from all these different cards and then you're picking which characters you want to have with strength and leadership and abilities. But again, it's all in Euro mechanisms.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
It's not battle. It's very much like, oh, I want to have strength or speed so that I can like out battle you here. But again, battling is really bidding.
Yeah, exactly.
Like good bidding, not like, you know, silent bidding. I've got to figure everything out. I've got to read 10, you know, two people simultaneously. Just, it's more that timing, like you said, like I'm either going to go all in right now and be like, I'm five strength. So if you want to come here, you've got to figure it out, or I'm going to hold back and slowly, now, boom, drop the hammer once you go there. It's great. It's free player only, but that's the beauty of the game, right? Like, you've got a plan to play it. You can't just show up with it. You've got to say, what two other people want to play this with me? And it's awesome.
That's how I feel about coin games and stuff like that. They're not games that you just turn up with and play. They're games that you plan to play with people, right? You kind of say, hey, let's do this. And everyone does a little bit of, you know, everyone does a little bit of research beforehand and you kind of go in and play a game and everyone does a bit of due diligence before they play a game. Because not every game is like Miyabi, where I can sit at the table and probably teach you, in 10 minutes. But like with, you know, if you're going to play, I don't know, Cuba Libre, or if you're going to play Fire in the Lake or Pendragon or something, it's like, hey, how about everyone spend some time and try and learn this game as best as possible and we'll plan to play it now.
Yeah.
And they're just so different in that regard. So,
well, Cuba Libre starts with that faction, the blue faction. I feel bad, I can't remember the names of them. And they're like on the precipice of winning.
Yeah, they're the government. Yeah, the government.
Yeah, the government's like on the precipice of winning. And so you've got to immediately,
because that's
that interesting part. You kind of need to know that, or you just sit there going, wait a second, aren't they really close to winning?
Because coin games are that whole thing. That is it. Those are the epitome of, hey, let's both do, let's have a conversation about this. Let's both do this.
Yes.
And you know it's going to help you just a tiny bit more, but it's also, they've got to do it anyway because it's going to help them because this person's going to win right now if we don't. So,
and then you draw the card that says, oh, I get this amazing power where I could totally shut them down. Forget it. Alliance off.
Oh, never mind. I win.
Awesome. Well, I think I did pretty well with my stack of games from Matt and Jude there. So there's some winners there. In terms of all that. But I think we'll wrap up this episode. Thank you so much for joining me, the esteemed Mr. Jude.
Thank you for having me. It's been good to catch up or just hang out. I'd have had a conversation without recording it. It feels good.
Yeah, oh, yeah, totally. 100%. Everybody should check out Matthew Jude. If you don't currently know, find him on the This Game is Broken channel is probably the main place. Various places on Twitch. And on Rodney Smith's channel, Watch It Played, where you can find him and others doing various news, informational and spoof for you.
Yeah, that's basically it. Yeah, I'm awesome. Just, if you're interested in me, just look me up. Just hit me up. It'd be great.
And whenever conventions happen again, you will probably find Matthew and I gallivanting around doing various things, throwing dice.
Absolutely.
Across a room. What was that game? That was like where we really hung out.
Oh, that's Magical Athlete.
Magical Athlete. We threw the dice across the ballroom.
That was one of the best gaming experiences I've ever had in my entire life. That game of Magical Athlete was amazing. Right. And we had a sprint. Oh gosh, it was so good. Loved it.
All right. Well, Matthew, thank you so much. When I get to see you again, it will have been too late already.
It's true. Yeah.
But thank you for joining me on this episode 165, the esteemed Mr. Jude, as we review games. I'm your host, The Brant, and until next time, I hope you step into the pool. Bye, everybody. Have a good one.